like in Opus 109, we had the theme with variations, also in triple time. Here the meter is 9/16. So it is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And it starts with an upbeat. So when you hear this, I'm sure many of you know this from hearing, and you think that this is the downbeat. It's not a downbeat, it's an upbeat. 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Beethoven writes, adagio molto semplice e cantabile. So it's very important to phrase this instruction, like as if it was a musical phrase. To me, it means adagio, slowly, molto semplice, very simply e cantabile, and singing. So not very slowly and simply, but slowly and very simply. Because, like the maestoso introduction of the first movement, again, we have heard countless, really also wonderful performances of this arietta, but excruciatingly slow. And I think even if Beethoven was deaf by now, but his memories of sound, they were still with him. And it's important to know these old instruments and fortepianos of Beethoven's time. If you ever played one of them, they give you the right ideas about tempo. Many of the tempi that we play today are either much too fast or much too slow, and not moderate. On a Beethoven fortepiano, you couldn't play a tempo like this. I'm just playing a parody now. On and on, and you could have your dinner and your breakfast and your lunch. I would still be playing very, very profound. And so I'm not trying to be cynical, but really, one should not try to set the world record of slowness here. Because that's not what Beethoven wanted. Now, this movement, theme with variations, is a different concept from the theme and variations of the E major sonata. There we had different character variations, and the theme returned at the end. We remember it. This is a different strategy now, because Beethoven never repeats himself. Let me still play the second part of the theme, because we haven't heard it yet. This iambic movement, this rocking iambic movement, going back to liturgical texts, to me this is gratias, a song of thanksgiving. That's what I associate it with. Now, the first three variations belong together, and they form a block. Again, Beethoven keeps the same pulse, but uses smaller and smaller note values. The first variation this 9/16 time, and again we have a very symmetrical shape, 16 bars twice, both sections repeated. The second variation uses smaller note values, the 32nd notes or demi-semi quavers. Feel the pulse, yum ba dum ba bum ba dum ba da da dum ba bim ba bum ba bim ba bum ba bum da da. So it's all related, and the third variation further intensifies this and uses 64th notes or hemi-demi-semi quavers as its basic note value pattern, and. This is not the four-story of a boogie-woogie, as many people suggest. I get very upset when I hear that. Oh, this variation is so jazzy. There's nothing jazzy about it. It's only, of course, today we have different associations and we cannot forget all our experiences of jazz. But with due respect to that, I don't. This is the most spiritual creation of the most spiritual composer, so let's not associate it with banalities. And so, as we see, the note values are smaller and smaller, and this is the music of the utmost ecstasy. We started with very solemn harmonies and the harmonious Apollonian world, and by now we reach the Dionysian ecstasy. After this, there is a very drastic break. This is what we call the deconstruction of the material. We go back to darkness, and we hear these triplets in the bass. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That was this. And we hear fragments of the theme in the bass region, like sighs, like sospiri. Now, for the, now would come a repeat of this section, but Beethoven changes from darkness to light and from the ground to the stars. For the second part, back to darkness. So this is the most wonderfully transcendental poetic music, which has got nothing to do with piano music anymore. And then when the second part enters the stars, let me play that again. This would be the end of this variation. And at this point, Beethoven abandons the whole structure of variations and starts something incredibly new and very poetic. Improvisation, and here we have like an instrumental cadenza. And again, let's see what he does with the trills, because I think this is the apotheosis of the trill. Even Beethoven had, not even in the Waldstein Sonata and not even in Opus 109, have given such significant role to the trill, which is not decorative at all, but existential. This is very important because for the first time he leaves the tonality. This step of the bass from B natural to B flat points the way towards E flat major. Then we have the in three voices simultaneously. This is also very novel. And then the trill stays alone. This is where I would always like to stop in a concert. It's like, this is the Faustian moment where you would like to stop time. But that's the moment where you would sell your soul to the devil. So we have to go on, but this is in the theme we had. And so this is, why do I want to stop time here? Because this is, again, the grounds and the heavens, the greatest possible distance between them. And where, this is, I think, the Beethoven's question, where is our place as human beings between those two levels? So let me play. Does he come back from that far away land to home? Here we can feel the vicinity of homecoming. And indeed, this wonderful Thanksgiving returns in all majesty and all simplicity, and we can feel gratitude. I think if there are two words, is they are gratitude and forgiving. That's what I feel by when I listen to this music or when I have the privilege to play it, because of a fantastic great genius who had really suffered more than anyone, and still being able to write this music and transmitting gratitude and the deep, profound, really almost, and not just almost, but to me, wholly religious feeling. A gratitude to God for being alive and for being able to write music like this.